Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The fresh economic data yesterday was that new unemployment claims fell to just over 500,000, and that's the lowest level since January. So somebody like Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke probably sees data like this and says the worst of the recession is over, right? But does this sound like recovery?
Hey, come here. Where you guys
headed? I got my application.
No. There's nobody going in there. If I didn't see you come out in the first place, you're not
you
going
to. You did see me come in. Remember, you remember me? I had the black car. You said, don't go. You leave.
That's the sound of a police officer trying to bring order to the convention center in Detroit on Wednesday, where some 30,000 people showed up to apply for small amounts of federal assistance. They only had about 3,500 applications available. The scene got very ugly. To get firsthand accounts of what happened at Cobo Center, we are joined now by former police commander of that precinct, Gary Brown. Good morning, Gary. Do we have Gary?
Good morning.
Hi. So you were there on Wednesday handing out water. You're also, I guess, handing out campaign flyers since you're running for office there. What did you see?
Well, I saw about 10,000 people lined up on the inside of the facility trying to get an application, or at least trying to line up and wait for the door to open at 10 o'clock and get an application. And then I saw the crowd building outside to where another 10 to 15,000 people were arriving.
For blocks and blocks. We're also joined by Cheryl P. Johnson, CEO for the Coalition for Temporary Shelter, who is contracted by Detroit to accept filled-in applications at Cobo Hall. Cheryl, take a listen to this.
Detroit is crazy. It's crazy. All this chaos is just a sign of what Detroit is like. Bunch of chaos.
So, Cheryl, there's, a bunch of chaos in Detroit. There is a gap between what economists are saying and certainly what the people in Detroit and other cities that were hard hit are saying. Are things getting better in Detroit?
Oh, well, Celeste, when you look at it specifically, I think in my last 20 years of working with some of the most vulnerable people in our community, I've never have seen anything, witnessed anything like I did on Wednesday. But when you look at the number of jobs in the last 10 years across the country that have been lost, and that's a 1,200,000 and something, 62% of that came out of Michigan. And so what you saw on Wednesday and what you just heard is really the desperate cry of people. I mean, anytime you have an 80-year-old woman who comes down in a crowd, and that crowd was something like 35,000, by the way, and with oxygen, or mom with a brand new baby and four children, it really does speak to the how people are very, very desperate right now, especially in the city of Detroit.
Andy Stentner is the deputy director of the National Employment Law Project. So, Andy, you're hearing these things about the scene in Detroit on Wednesday. Is Detroit a special case? I mean, there's now 5.5 million Americans who've been out of a job, who've been unemployed for more than 6 months. Is it as desperate as this in other cities as well?
I think it's true from Detroit to Fort Myers, Florida, to Las Vegas, Nevada. The whatever signs of hope are just about things starting to get a little less worse. It doesn't really mean that there's any hiring going on, and that's what we need to make an economic recovery.
You know, Cheryl Johnson, what you were just saying there and looking at these pictures from Detroit really reminds me that we've had a couple of examples during this recession where the government opens up the floodgates to help people, either in terms of housing, in mortgage tax credits, or the Cash for Clunkers program. And this, every time those doors open, it's a mob scene. I mean, Cash for Clunkers, it's amazing. What does that say?
It says either there's a disconnect there because the numbers exceed what really, you know, what people really think is happening. When that door is open, you see the reality that those numbers exceed what either the government is thinking is happening. And that was certainly the case. I mean, you've heard all kinds of things about, well, it was it wasn't thought out well in terms of the planning. But I think there was a plan in place to address the applications. However, when you saw those numbers, I don't think anyone had any idea that that many people would turn out starting at 2:30 a.m. in the morning.
So, Gary Brown, if you were a former cop and you're now running for Detroit City Council, they actually had to call in 150 extra policemen to handle the crowd, and a couple people, I guess, were taken away in an ambulance. What happened to cause injuries there?
Well, as Cheryl said, I think the city anticipated about 10,000 people showing up, and I think that's the real problem here is that I don't think the state, the region, and in a lot of cases even local government can get its arms wrapped around the depth of the problem of poverty in the city of Detroit. No one expected 35,000 people down at Cobo Hall, and nobody certainly expected them to show up. I talked to people that actually got there at 1:30 in the morning. And
wow.
So the police department was prepared for about 10,000 people to show up around 6:30 for the doors to open at 10 o'clock. And when people started showing up at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning and creating their own lines, it created a problem. But the real problem here is that no one in the city seems to have their arms wrapped around the depth of the problem, except people like Cheryl that are in the business of serving the needy. I, too, sit on the board of directors of Mariners Inn, which is a homeless shelter for drug abuse men, and we see we know what the depth of the problem is, but local government in Detroit doesn't.
So, Andy, let's end with you. You are the deputy director of the National Employment Law Project, and I'm wondering, we have this headline news about Barack Obama. Is that really far removed from the kind of people that you're dealing with every day?
You know, I grew up in Lafayette Park in Detroit, and people can pick on it. But, you know, we've had a situation where we've underinvested in the safety net for the last 20 years. So none of the programs are really up to speed to handle this increase in demand. But there are 3.5 million Americans, depending on extended unemployment benefits, because the president got ahead and passed the Recovery Act. There are workers being able to...
And for them, the headline is that they're still unemployed, I guess. That's Andy Stettner of the National Employment Law Project. We also heard from Gary Brown, a former cop in Detroit, and Cheryl P. Johnson with the Coalition for Temporary Shelter.